Today is October 1st, 2009. Here in Weatherby, Missouri, you may hear it's really raining. And I'm sitting in my office, and we have a metal roof over the office. And certainly hear it raining, pouring down rain. And I was thinking about the days of Noah. Bible says it was in the days of Noah, so shall he, coming of the Son of Man. He wasn't speaking of rain, but he was speaking of the moral decadence of society and the overall attitudes prevailing during the time of Noah. And I was thinking about the thought, I wonder how long it took after God had shut the door on the ark that the men and women of that era realized they were doomed. How much rain did they have to get before they realized that they were going to perish? And that's a pertinent question for today. How bad does the moral decadence of our society have to get before people come to an awareness that we are a doomed nation? We are endorsing homosexuality, perversion, infanticide, abortion. We are plagued with idolatry on every side. And God is not going to continue to tolerate the absolute neglect of His law and of His laws. Judgment is coming. It is a result of disobedience to the law of God. And God is either going to cause people to turn and repent, to turn to Jesus Christ, or He is going to judge them according to His perfect law of righteousness. With the rain here in Weatherby, it's a reminder that in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We are on the verge of Matthew 24, meaning that days will wax worse and worse, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And a lot of people think that things are going along just fine. You know, people don't experience economic heartache or they don't see how bad the economy is until they experience a job loss or some own economic devastation in their own personal lives. People don't understand how people are plagued with health problems until they have health problems of their own. People don't understand what it means to live and have the responsibilities of a disabled child until they firsthand have that experience. Well, we are being illumined and lightened with the realization that we are living in the times similar to the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We look around us and we see teen pregnancy at an all-time high. We're seeing the moral degradation of our society unparalleled as we look at not only the United States, but Europe and many of the nations throughout the world, and their peoples and their cultures are absent of any absolute values in their society. We look at our neighbors around us, how that they lack the responsibility of living a life that is in alliance and alignment with the Word of God. We recently had some neighbors move in our area and here this person was talking about the fact that she's living with her fiancé. She has an 18-month-old girl and she's pregnant with another child, and they're not even married. And the interesting thing is, these people have no moral compass, no boundaries, unchecked. And this is what we see so current in life. And then, if you point these things out, then you're construed to be a bigot, a hate monger, a legalist, and all of these things. Well, when we survey the landscape of our moral decadence, we also recognize that we have wonderful promises in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We're living in the dispensation of grace so far. There's going to come a time when God is going to turn off His dispensation of grace, and He is going to loose Satan and the wrath of God upon this world and upon this nation. And we know the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince and the power of the air that works in the sons of disobedience. And it says we all had our times past in these things, but God has translated us unto His dear Son. It's good to know that we have been recipients of God's grace, of His electing grace. We have heard the effectual call. We have responded only because we have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. It has nothing to do with our spiritual dead, rebellious will. You know, people talk about free will. Our will is at birth enslaved to sin, Satan, and all of his devices. But the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to Jesus Christ. If we have been given to God by the Father, if we've been given to Jesus Christ, we will answer His call. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. All the Father given me will come to me." So there's a great assurance, even in the midst of these times of similar to Noah and similar to times of Sodom and Gomorrah, that God has a remnant according to election of grace, which includes both Gentile and Jew. Now the fullness of the Gentile will come into fruition, and then we'll find that there will be an elect remnant of Jews coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, during that time when 8 souls were saved by water, you think of the population at that time, must have been many, many, many millions of people that were destroyed by the great flood of the time of Noah. And we see that God chose to preserve life, even in His other creation, 2 of every kind entered into the ark, and Noah and his family, and God shut the door. One of these days, God is going to shut the door on this degenerate society. And in Revelation, it says that they will flee to the rocks and the mountains and cry for the rocks to fall upon them. They know that the God's judgment is going to be imminent when that happens. But yet, it says prior to that time that men will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And that's exactly what happened until the day that Noah entered the ark. Right down to the day. And we know that Noah had been preaching for 120 years. And, you know, today men are without excuse before God. There's been, the gospel has been preached over and over and over again. Probably in America, more people have heard the gospel in numerous ways and by numerous people, and had more warnings against the impending wrath of God than most other people. So men that are going on in their sin are without excuse before God. But we know that God has reserved unto himself a people that will hear the call, that will be regenerated by the Spirit of God, that will be drawn, and they will confess Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible tells us that if we confess him before men, that he will confess us before his Father, which is in heaven. Now we know that in this day and time, when the politics of our time are based upon what everybody wants, you know, politicians analyze their audience. Even when they're speaking, they'll change their message according to the audience they're talking to. But Jesus didn't change his message based on who he was talking to. His message was the same, and that was whether he was talking to the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, it was, "I've come to do the work of my Father." And he said to the Pharisees, "The reason you don't believe on me is because you are not my children. You're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." In the 10th chapter of John, we find that Jesus gives a message about thieves and robbers who try to climb up some other way to God rather than going through Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening in our society today. There are those that are touting a totally different gospel. The all paths that lead to God gospel. The spokes leading to the middle of the wheel. All religions, but ending up leading to God. This is what Jesus Christ calls what he would indicate as being false teaching, false prophecies, false sayings. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They don't follow all these other voices." We're living in a pluralistic society. We're living in a society of many gods. Polytheism. People want to be comfortable around whoever and whatever other people believe. Now we have the Muslims praying in front of the White House. And people still talk about religious freedom. But the reality of it is these people are worshiping other gods. And they are not worshiping the one true God, Jesus Christ. And then we want to call this a Christian nation with Barack Hussein Obama in the White House. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We also see that in Philippians it says that he has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. People aren't confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord today in most circles. They are confessing a humanistic, all paths lead to God religion. It's basically humanism, self-esteemism, self-actualization, Schulerism, and all the other isms that are out there. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. He's the one that came. He's the one that died. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for his people. He came to save his people from their sins. And it was accomplished when he said on the cross, "It is finished." That's exactly what he meant, that it was finished. The work was done that the Father had sent him to accomplish. But if he had stayed in the grave, we would still be in our sins. But Paul says because of the resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. We know that if he had not raised Christ from the dead, he would not have raised us from the dead. We know that he has all power in heaven and earth, that he is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the Prince of Peace. And through his precious blood, we have forgiveness of sins if we are one of his. Now, his precious blood is what avails for his people. He was effectually working out what had already covenantally been sealed before the foundation of the world between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God was not taken by surprise when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew they were going to disobey him prior to creating them. He knows all things. And he did not execute option B plan when they did disobey him. Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. The covenant was sealed between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ would come and give his life a ransom for many, for his people. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Well, it's good to know that we have a remedy for our condition. Many today are denying the doctrine of original sin, that men are born and conceived in sin. Like John Wesley, many are proclaiming that man just has a bent towards sin. But Scripture tells us something totally different. Scripture tells us that we are born and conceived in sin. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all as filthy rags. We've all turned aside and gone out of the way. And if we uphold Scripture, we realize that the only hope is if we have a spiritual rebirth. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and asked Jesus how one would come to a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ answered and said, "The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." Nicodemus said, "Can a man be entered his mother's womb the second time?" Jesus said, "You must be born again by the Spirit of God." And so those that have been recipients of the effectual working power and regenerating power of the Holy Spirit can attest to the fact that they have been born again, that they now have hope. There's a scripture that talks about faith, hope, and charity. Well, you know, God has shown his people love, unconditional love, not based upon their works. Children not being born, yet born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one lump unto honor and one unto dishonor? Well, you know, we don't want to give God that much power. We want to think that we're cooperative agents with God. God is the one who died. God is the one who chose us. God is the one who adopted us if we're his. God is the one who paid the price on Calvary. And in Revelation it says that he's the one that's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power. And we're going to see one day that there's going to be a great marriage supper of the Lamb. And those at that marriage supper of the Lamb are going to give him all the glory. And they're going to cast their crowns at his feet. For he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He is worthy to open the book. You know, there's many that try to say that they are worthy. They've done something to merit the favor of God. Unmerited favor is unconditional election. It recognizes our own total depravity. It recognizes the unconditional election of God. It recognizes that He has shown particular favor to those for whom He has chosen. And it also shows us that those who He has chosen have been irresistibly drawn by the Spirit of God, and that they will finally persevere in their faith, not because of their own works, not of works that we have done, but His own mercy and grace He saved us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. So in these last days of Noah times, with the rain falling and the thunder and the lightning, it's a reminder that God is still on His throne and executing His judgments throughout the universe, and that His counsel will stand and He will do all of His own pleasure. It says, in Him we live and move and have our being. And a lot of people say, well, we still have the right to choose. No, Jesus Christ is the one who has been given authority. He has created all things, and by Him all things consist. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And who can say unto Him, what doeth thou? And so we give Him all the glory. We know that the Bible in the Old Testament says that He will not share His glory with another. There are many that are wanting to take and share the glory of the completed work of Jesus Christ with the free will of man. But God will not have it so. God's Son gets all the glory. He has been given a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, a lot of people don't want to give Him the glory of being Lord. They want to take the glory for themselves and their own works of salvation. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Grace that can pardon and cleanse within. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was dead, but was reborn, was blind, but now I see. Well, there's a lot to be said about this last days that we're living in. As we come down to the end of this age, we're going to see persecution upon the church. We're going to see tribulation. We're going to be tried, as it were, by fire. Many will be killed for the name of Jesus Christ, according to the book of Revelation. John on the Isle of Patmos saw this coming. But we should be joyful. We should be celebrating, because it's not going to be long before we're going to be ushered into the presence of the King. It's good to know that we're children of the King and that He has purchased our redemption. Father, we pray that You would take this short message and use it for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.